Let's get a little more caught up. You can find our next guest. Well, maybe not now. He's probably on the move. Excuse me. Normally in the sports section of the Register Guard on Twitter, it's Steve_Mims_RG. Steve, how's things going?
Good. I assume you're having me on to break down the Colorado State-Oregon basketball game tonight?
Well, I thought we might even light up the hot stove a little bit, but...
Yeah, Stanton's not going to St. Louis. What do you think, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Go through that one.
Go ahead. No, he's not going to San Francisco either. Discuss. But seriously, you've been doing this a while. We've known each other a long time, covering athletics at this university. When Mark Helfrich was let go a year ago, things were a little warm, but you know that was by invitation. Then the decision to make the change, this was thrust upon the administration. Fellow coaches and players, the departure of Willie Taggart. How nuts has this week been for you covering this program?
Yeah, it's been a little crazy, you know, and it's always interesting in this business because, as you know, a lot of people like to say they know something, they hear something, and so then you're backing that up. And, you know, when Oregon's kind of the last coaching change available, all of a sudden all the national people start putting their attention on that, so you got more of that. So it's, I hate to admit it, but I've been on my phone or on my computer or checking Twitter or checking other things more than I'd like to. So it's, I'm glad it's over. I didn't think it was going to be a press conference until Monday. I figured this would go through the weekend. So the good news is I got a weekend to enjoy without having to check any of that anymore.
Now, we've been hearing about the level of support in the locker room among the players. I mean, when you hear 70, 75 guys throw their support or sign a petition, you know, maybe if these guys had been coached by him 2 years, 3 years, that might seem logical. How rare does it seem that he could garner this level of support in essence in a year?
Some, except it's interesting. I mean, the same thing kind of happened down in Corvallis. You know, we saw the Hall in thing where all of a sudden those guys all wanted Corey Hall now. The disadvantage he had was that he had six more games to go, and he lost all six of them, so he could have lost his chance at that game there. But Cristobal had, you know, he got picked before his first game, so he's in a better spot. But, yeah, it is interesting. You expected it more, you know, kind of under the old Oregon style, where you had assistants who'd been there for 15, 20 years. You'd expected then that, hey, we know this guy. But, you know, in talking with some of the players today, and I just posted a story talking to the parents of a recruit, just seems like this guy wins over people pretty quickly, and I can say the same thing. You know, when I've talked to him, he's come off as real professional, real personable, real serious, and knows what's going on. So I think he's got the kind of aura around him that kind of serves himself well in dealing with people, and it must have impressed Rob Mullins pretty quick.
Now, obviously, there was a question and answer session after now Coach Cristobal addressed the crowd on hand, and I'm sure right at the top was, what are your plans with Jim Leavitt? So where do we stand with that?
Yeah, I've been hearing since Tuesday that Jim Leavitt's gone. He's planning to follow Willie Taggart, and nothing that Mario said today changed that. He basically said, you know, Jim's a great coach, and we'd love to have him, but there's a lot of opportunities that come up at this time, which is, you know, he was later asked about Marcus Arroyo, and he said, yeah, Marcus is going to be back next year. So seems like the tea leaves have all been kind of building through the week. That I think Jim Leavitt really wanted the head coaching job here. He's made it clear he wants to be a head coach, and I think his thought was, you know, if you don't want me as the head coach, you probably don't need me as the defensive coordinator. So I think there's some of that with Jim. Now, he may stick around. Maybe Mario can convince him. He's got to stay on through the bowl game, so Mario's got 8 days to convince him what he wants, but all signs and everything I've heard is just that Jim's planning to head on out if he didn't get the head coaching job.
Well, maybe if Leavitt was a player, as a great recruiter, he can get him to stay, but I think those days are gone. So, you know, a lot of questions.
Well, you also wonder with Jim, you know, I mean, if 70 players signed a petition for Mario Cristobal, don't you think Jim's kind of sitting there going, anybody want to put their name behind me on this one? You know, I mean, it's interesting there. Somebody had mentioned, you know, instead of the Cristobal, and why wasn't there a levitation, you know, type of hashtag or something? But none of that came up, so that I think there's got to be a little bit of part of that at Jim too is sort of like, wait a minute here, if everybody wanted the other guy, that doesn't say, you know, that there was a whole lot of support behind me.
Man, I didn't even think of that. That's a really good point. So a lot of people are wondering now, you had co-offensive coordinators, and you know, whether it was when Kelly left, whether it was when Helf left, you always wondered what's the offense going to look like. So looking ahead to next year, at least from the top, what did he have to say about who's going to be in charge, who's calling the shots, and what we could expect, you know, offensively from this year to next?
Next. Sounds like Mario or Marcus Arroyo. I always get Mario and Marcus mixed up. So sounds like Arroyo is going to be the offensive coordinator and be the play caller, which obviously this year Taggart was the play caller. And, you know, Cristobal and Arroyo were the guys who kind of game planned with him. But it sounds like he's turned this offense over to Arroyo, and he'll be the one to run it. I don't think there'll be a co-offensive coordinator this year. So it sounds like it's going to be Marcus Arroyo as your one and only offensive coordinator next year. And with that, I expect it to be the same. Just, you know, you saw what Justin Herbert did this year, and I don't think Arroyo's going to try to change a whole lot of that. So I think they'll continue to build this thing around Herbert in the way they did this year.
Did he address the other assistants? Because it really just looks like such a strong staff with, the defensive back coaches, Charles Clark, Keith Hayward, whether it's, I'm not even going to ask about Pimpleton and Woody. I would assume they're Taggart guys. But Michael Johnson, how are they addressed?
He said and complimented them all, which, you know, he has to do. They're all under contract through the bowl game. So right now all he can do is say that I like these guys, I'd like to have them back. But the only one he said for sure was coming back that I heard him say was Arroyo. For the rest of them, I've been told that Salavea wants to stay. He'll be here. Hayward's going to stay, and Charles Clark's going to stay. He mentioned the Florida guys going. The wild card in this is kind of Michael Johnson right now. You know, if you remember last year, right before Oregon hired him, Michigan hired him. But they didn't have a full-time job, so he was going to have to kind of wait for that 10th assistant to open next year. But now that job will be open for him. So you think Michigan might be an option for him? Obviously, with his kid being, you know, going into his senior year as a top quarterback, there's going to be a lot of programs that are interested in him, too. So it sounds to me like we kind of know who's staying, we kind of know who's going, and Johnson's the one wild card in the mix.
Well, with Levitt going, I mean, you know, one thing we haven't discussed, but from what we saw from the tail end of 2015 through last year, the defense didn't struggle. It was terrible, and that was actually a good defense we saw. So whether it's your observations or what they said, if they in fact are able to keep a bulk of the defensive coaches, aside from Taggart's guy Woody and Levitt, I mean, that seems pretty substantial.
Yeah, and I think it'd be a lot easier to hire a defensive coordinator now. You know, when they got Levitt, it was, hey, come in and turn around the 125th-ranked defense. Now you're telling a guy, hey, come on in and turn around with the 50th-ranked defense and a defense that's got a lot of guys coming back. So I think that the job as Oregon defensive coordinator probably doesn't look quite as daunting as it did last year, and you give credit to Levitt for that.
I want to get to something. We're talking with Steve Mims of the Register Guard. You sent something out on Twitter I thought was poignant. This reputation Oregon has as a finesse or speed-only offense. I remember after they got pushed around a bit by Ohio State National Championship game, talking with some of the national guys. I think it's crazy when you consider how they've run the ball for decades. So I guess in two parts, the fact that Cristobal has a reputation as kind of a rough and tumble physical offensive coach, that reputation a little off base, and with this hiring, does it become kind of a moot point?
I think so, and I think always you hear, you know, people, I mean, I just don't think you have a finesse team in football. I mean, you got to have an offensive line, and, you know, people talk about the guys behind him are finesse, but, you know, I think that, yeah, and if you know Mario, he's a tough guy, and if you listen to his press conference, he talked about that. I talked to somebody who said that, you know, Mario, recruit's dad, who said, hey, Mario really talked about smash mouth football. We're going to pound it at guys and pound it at guys. And so I think that's his philosophy. Obviously, you know, you got Justin Herbert, you're going to throw the ball, but and Oregon's always run the ball, you know, even in the spread they ran it, but definitely there's a feeling that we're going to line these guys up and try to wear this defense out and kind of tire some guys down and knock them over before this thing's over. So I don't think it'll take long for, you know, when you have Mark Helfrich and the spread offense and Willie Taggart and Chip Kelly, it's just kind of easy for the national people to say, well, these guys go out and spread it and dink and dunk around the place. But I think the second you start getting Mario Cristobal behind a few microphones, the national people are going to say, hey, I don't think we can put that label on these guys anymore.
Certainly over the past year, we've heard about this historic recruiting class. Taggart developed this reputation as kind of a salesman, guys coming from Florida and long distance. So with a coaching change that's challenged, what was said today, either questions that were asked or what you heard or what the new coach said himself about, you know, working to get recommits or replacing guys who have already decommitted, because we're close. This early signing period is knocking on the door.
Yeah, and he said that today, you know, that, hey, you know, the movement's still going. You know, the guys who are committed, we want you all back, and we guys who decommitted, we want you to come back. So
I think his plan is that, you know, try to, you know, there's some guys in that class in Florida who are probably going to go with Willie. I mean, if you really like Willie Taggart and you're in Florida, you're probably not going to Oregon without Willie Taggart. You know, if that was the guy dragging you out there, now you can be closer to home. So there's a few of those they lose, but I think for the most part, it sounds like he can probably keep most of them. And, you know, they were pretty close to a full class anyway, so now they have maybe some extra openings to fill a little bit later. But I think his thought is to kind of work to get most of this group back.
And I think at this point that about covers football, because there's like a bowl game and stuff we have to talk about, and of course this whole thing will play itself out insane in 8 days. But I cannot avoid basketball. We were joking about it earlier. Dana Altman's been less than pleased after some of these performances. Then, albeit, you know, last Friday with no Troy Brown, that was kind of a gut punch loss to Boise State. How high up the list from what you're hearing is, you know, effort, lack of cohesion with so many faces coming into play?
Some of that, a lot of it he also talked about is just toughness, which, you know, sometimes comes from experience. You know, guys kind of been through it and know what they're going up against. And I think he feels like they've got, you know, a lot of freshmen, and then even the transfers are guys from kind of low major schools. So I think he's kind of thinking some of these guys, when they get into Pac-12, are going to need to be a little bit tougher. And that's been a real key point he's mentioned, is just, you know, it's one thing to, you know, communication, offense, those are things he can figure out during the course of practice. But I think he feels like toughness is something that he's going to have to, you know, get these guys to do, or else the rest of it's not really going to matter.
And lastly, Steve, tonight's opponent is Colorado State. You know, they went to the NIT last year. They don't want a road game. They are 4-5. I know it's been football, but you're covering a game tonight. What have you found out about maybe some kind of the challenges this Ram team presents?
Thanks for reminding me. I have to go cover a game tonight. I was thinking I was hearing a little bit. You know, that's going to be a little bit of a late one tonight.
Yeah, I think that, you know, Colorado State's just, you know, it's kind of like Boise State, you know, and come in here and everybody thinks, mid-major programs, but I think the urgency's been up for Oregon. They realize that if Boise State can beat them, Colorado State probably can. Colorado lost to Colorado State, so you're looking at a team that 1 week ago tomorrow beat a Pac-12 team, and a 7-0 Pac-12 team at that time. So I think you'll see a team that comes in thinking they can win it, and it's been a while since Oregon's had to face some of these teams at home and non-conference who came in here with much confidence.
Hey, Steve, I know you've had one of those weeks, as they say, busy, 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 a lot of hectic covering all of this, and like you said, probably haven't slept much, but I want to let you know it means a lot. We really appreciate you finding some time to talk to us about this, you know, biggest story in town. So thanks a lot for joining us, Stevie. Have a great weekend.
You got it, Steve. I always enjoy it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, take it easy.